Daniel chapter 3. This morning we have a story that most every one of us has heard as a child. It's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. But friends, it's much, much more than just a children's Bible story. The title of my message, as I referred to earlier, is Who is That God? Who is that God? In our scripture reading, we looked at the first 15 verses, but let me quickly refresh your memories concerning what we read. King Nebuchadnezzar built a gold statue. According to the dimensions mentioned in the passage, it was 90 feet high. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now picture this. This statue was nine stories tall. I remember living in a small town in Kentucky. The biggest city that was closest to us was across the Ohio River, only about 10 minutes away. But in 1969, there was a bank there that built a building 16 stories tall. Now, I know in major cities like Houston, Chicago, New York, that's a small building. But in 1969, in a little area in the Midwest, that was a big building. We'd never seen anything like it. I was 13 years old. And I remember as you were coming in to the Indiana side across the Ohio River, you could look up and you could see that building from afar off, several miles away. It was only a little bit taller than this statue that Nebuchadnezzar built. And what a sight it must have been to all those that resided in Babylon. So after building this massive gold statue, King Nebuchadnezzar ordered all the important leaders and everyone who was anybody or somebody to the dedication ceremony of the statue. And they all came for the dedication, all the important folks. And they took their places before the statue that Nebuchadnezzar had erected. And as I said earlier, or read earlier, a herald, an announcer proclaimed in a loud voice, "Attention, everyone, every race, color, creed, and language, listen. When you hear the band strike up," now I'm paraphrasing, but I got tired of mentioning all those instruments. "But when you hear the band strike up, fall to your knees and worship the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up." Now let me add that more than likely, no one knows for sure, but it's my guess, and that doesn't mean anything, but that this large mass of a gold statue was probably more than likely made in the likeness of the king himself, though we're not told. The announcer, though, goes on to say that anyone who does not kneel and worship shall be thrown immediately into a roaring, fiery furnace. And in verse 7, it tells us that the band started to play, a huge band equipped with all the musical instruments of Babylon. And everyone of every race, creed, and color fell to their knees and worshiped the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had built. Then some of the Babylonian fortune tellers called the Chaldeans, and that's what they were. They were just fortune tellers, fakes, servants of Satan, however you want to put it, stepped up and accused the Jews, and they said pretentiously with self-serving motives to King Nebuchadnezzar, "Long live the king." I can just see them, can't you? "Long live the king. Oh, how natural men and women will honor mere men and not honor the God that created them. May we be reminded of the words of our Lord in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him. Fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." In Luke 12, our Lord said in verses 4 and 5, "I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." But men doesn't seem to have a fear of God today. And the biggest reason is that men aren't telling people the truth about God. They're not. They're making God out to be some beggarly old man upstairs, and he couldn't be further from that. So these Chaldeans went on to remind the king. They said, now you gave strict orders. You said that when the music began to play, everyone had to fall down on their knees and worship this gold statue. And whosoever did not bow their knees and worship had to be thrown in a roaring fiery furnace. And friends, this was brought about because of their fierce jealousy. And they went on to say in verse 12, they said, there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have placed in high positions in the province of Babylon. These men are ignoring you, O king. They're flat ignoring you. They don't respect your gods. And they won't worship the gold statue you set up. And Nebuchadnezzar was furious. And he ordered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be brought in. Oh, the pride and arrogance of man that will most every time. Now listen, man's pride and arrogance will most every time lead to anger and fury, especially when that arrogance is mixed with self-righteousness. Nebuchadnezzar is living proof that natural men, especially those in power, think themselves to be God. When these three men of God were brought in verse 14, look at it with me. Verse 14, Daniel 3. Nebuchadnezzar spake, and he said unto them, is it true? Tell me, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods? Nor worship the golden image that I have set up. Now listen, the true children of God worship one God. They don't worship gods, plural. They worship one God. And these three faithful men knew the Word of God, and they knew the God of the Word. They were very familiar with the commandments that God had gave to Moses on the tablets of stone. In Exodus chapter 20, the first commandments that God gave Moses was, first, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. The very first one. No other gods before me. And then the very next verse, it says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. And Nebuchadnezzar had offended all three. And he required, threatened all in the land, if you don't bow down to this God of mine, little g God, a graven image that I've formed, that I've made, it done broke two of the commandments there, and bow down, that's the third. Oh, I'm reminded of the verse in Isaiah 42, verse 8, says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. He will not, friends, give his glory to another, neither my praise to graven images. Now look at verse 15. Now if ye be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye shall fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God? Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Now let me tell you what Nebuchadnezzar's saying here. What he's saying is, I'm going to give you a second chance. I'm going to give you a second chance because basically I like you. You know, I did at the request of Daniel in the very chapter, previous chapter before this, made them a somebody in the province of Babylon. But he's also saying, don't ignore me anymore. Don't ignore me again. For if you do, the very same hour that you disobey me, the great Nebuchadnezzar, I'll have you cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Turn back. Maybe you don't even have to turn back. But then Daniel chapter 2, look at verse 47. And the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal the secret. How soon this arrogant king had forgotten. I've known many friends, and I say this with sad and broken heart, some even of this number, who have made professions of faith, but it seems they too have forgotten. They once confessed faith in a sovereign God who works all things after the counsel of His own will. They once bowed to Christ and pledged their faithful allegiance to Him alone. They once claimed love and devotion to their Savior for their redemption, their justification, and their preservation. But where are they now? Some are worshiping and bowing a God that man has made and created. And some worship none other than themselves, for they need no other. But Deuteronomy 8:11 says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God." Beware. "And not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day." Yes, how soon many forget. And the truth of the matter is that if God took His hand off me right now, so would I. Oh my, His restraining grace. How beautiful it is. And I would ask these that have seemed to have forgotten, who is that God? Who is that God to you that you've forgotten and forsaken? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that God was, and we see their great faith in Him in the following verses. Look at verse 16. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter.'" I can assure you that most of the people, when they stood before the king, they were careful in how they answered. But they told him right up front, "We're not careful to answer thee in this matter." Verse 17, "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." Now let me tell you something. There's saving faith. That's saving faith. That's faith in a God who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could think or ask. Oh, beloved, the God whom you serve this day is able. He's able. He's able to deliver you no matter what you face. It doesn't matter what you face in the way of trials, whether it's affliction of body or soul, whether it's hurt or need, your God is able to deliver you. Those of you without Christ, this God whom I declare to you this morning, He is able to save you to the uttermost. He's able. "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed," Paul said. "I know Him, and I'm persuaded, convinced, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." Hebrews 2:18 says, "For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He's able to succor, comfort them that are tempted." He's able. Hebrews 7:25, "Wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him, seeing that He ever liveth to make intercession for them." Now that's the God of the Bible. Now look at verse 18 in chapter 3. They go on with their confession or profession of faith, and they say, "But if not, we're confident that our Lord will deliver us. We know that He's able, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image that thou hast set up." Oh, what great faith these men had. They said, "But even if God doesn't deliver us, it wouldn't make a bit of difference." And that's the attitude of a true child of God. We still wouldn't serve your gods. We still wouldn't worship that gold statue that you have setting out in the plain for all to see. And if our God does not think it fit to exert His power and deliver us, in whom we are well assured He's able to do, if it's not His will, did you hear that? If it's not His will, what did our Lord pray? "Not my will, but thine be done." And God put Him on a tree, crucified Him. It was by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, even though the means was the wicked hands of men. If it's not His will, we're content. Whether we're delivered or not, come life, come death, we are ready, for we had rather die than sin against our God. Now, I'm telling you something about a child of God, and those of you that know Christ and believe the gospel know this to be so. You won't listen to a false gospel. You won't listen to it. It will absolutely drive you mad. When I hear men talking about whom they proclaim to be God and doesn't no more resemble the God of this Bible than a little gnat, it just makes me sick at my stomach. I'm not going to listen to it. Not going to listen to it. And God's people won't. These three Hebrew men, young men, I'm sure at this time, they said, whether we're delivered or not, whether we live, whether we die, we're ready. We're ready. Because we'd rather die than sin against our God. Now look at verse 19. This didn't go over well. In verse 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. Full of fury. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake, and he commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. King Nebuchadnezzar was furious before. Now it says he's full of fury. You see, he realizes that his threats on them had made no difference. They were resolved and determined not to obey his will. And the king's face that once smiled upon them as his favorites now turns red with fury. Oh, I can just see. Have you ever seen people that just get furious? Their face almost turns purple. Man, I'm telling you, it just shows all over. Oh, his visage changed. I'm sure the forehead was wrinkled. He was just, he was madder than a hornet. And immediately he orders the furnace fire to be turned up 7 times hotter than usual. That's a common reaction when you denounce men's imaginary little 10 gods. People get mad. They don't like it. Okay, verse 20. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army, this is Nebuchadnezzar speaking of, to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them in the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen, which I looked up, I didn't know what it was. It's basically a robe. And their hats, probably turbans, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And with the furnace being 7 times hotter and being bound hand and foot and fully clothed by these strong and mighty men of Nebuchadnezzar's army, it was all done with the purpose of Nebuchadnezzar to make the torment greater. But providentially, now listen to me, it was so that the miracle of God and his deliverance would also be greater. You remember that blind man? We looked at it not long ago that was blind since birth. The first thing the apostles wanted to know is he born blind because he did some awful sin or his parents did some awful sin? And the Lord Jesus said, no, he was born blind that you might see the mighty work of God. And I tell you, that furnace was turned up 7 times hotter and they were bound hand and foot and thrown in there with their clothes on to show that God would be their deliverer. Greater the trial, greater the deliverance. Oh, the greater your trial and affliction, the greater is God's glory when he delivers you from it. All right, to prove this even further, look at verse 22. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was so hot that when they went to throw them in the fiery furnace, the men that had bound them and put them there were killed. That's how hot it was. What proof this is of the fervent heat and the sure death that awaited these men. But nothing, now listen to me, nothing, and I mean nothing, is too hard for God Almighty. I was thinking as I was studying this, he who created the fire can surely control it. Can he not? In verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and arose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men, and they're loose, and they're walking in the midst of the fire that had killed those who just got close to the opening of the fire. They're walking around loose, and they have no hurt. They're not screaming. They're not in anguish. They're not in pain. They're walking around conversing with one another. And there's an extra one in there. And Nebuchadnezzar says, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Oh, don't miss the gospel here. Don't miss the gospel here. These three chosen men of God who were bound were now loose. Those who were tied hand and foot are now walking freely. Those who were destined for a burning, fiery death now have no hurt or suffer no pain. They who were three were now four. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Elect sinners who deserved to be bound and thrown into hell to die an eternal death are now loosed with no harm, no hurt. Why? Because God's beloved Son took our place. And He delivered us by becoming what we were, taking our just punishment by dying in our stead. That's substitution. And that's the gospel. Now in my reading, there are many that think the fourth man in the fire was an angel. I'm not going to argue with that, but I'm going to tell you, I believe with all my heart that it was Christ. For it is He only that can deliver from the fire of affliction, the fire of hell because of our sin. In Isaiah 43, it says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Not some angel, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Isaiah 48, 10 and 11. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Who has? I have, says the Lord Jesus Christ. For my own sake, even for my own sake, will I do it. I'll do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's no angel. That's no angel. Okay, verse 26, I'll try to finish this up. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent His angel and delivered His servants that trusted in Him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Now look at verse 29. This is remarkable. Therefore I make a decree. I'm going to make another decree. That every people, nation, and language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. Now notice these last words. Because there is no other God. There is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Did you catch those words? There's no other God that can deliver after this sort. He who had earlier said, in verse 15, he said, If you worship not this gold statue that I call God, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Now what does he say? There is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Who is that God? Who is that God? Well, all the chosen of God proclaim the same thing as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. And He did. And He did. And He still does. He still does. Romans chapter 3 assures us of this. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who can? Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Who can? Who can? Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. No one. Nothing or no one, dear child of God. Nothing or no one. As we consider this marvelous chapter and amazing story, we see a beautiful, clear, instructive picture of God's great salvation. The salvation of poor sinners by the sin-atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a picture we have before us. And listen, I say with Nebuchadnezzar, this time, not the first time, but this time, there is no other God that can deliver after this sword. You can write it down and take it to the bank, as they say. He who is God, our Savior, saves His people in exactly the same way He saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the burning fiery furnace. He became one of us. He suffered all the fury and fire of God's wrath with His people and for His people. The Lord Jesus Christ so thoroughly, now listen, so thoroughly saves His people from their sins that not even the smell of hell is upon them. This is how our God saved. He so thoroughly saves His elect that they suffer no loss for their crimes, but only gain. I hope you enclosed your Bible, but look at verse 30. Then the king promoted. The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Oh, God saves His elect. They don't suffer loss, only gain. Only gain. May the Lord be pleased to bless to your hearts the preaching of His Word.